and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Laveau. For a countless number of people, Roger Waters is the frontman of the iconic rock band Pink Floyd, music that has become part of the fabric of our contemporary life. Waters is also a high-profile human rights advocate championing the rights of Palestinians. He takes a moral position and should be an inspiration for the rest of us. Crosstalking activism, I'm joined by Roger Waters in New York. He is a legendary Pink Floyd frontman and activist. All right, Roger, thank you for joining us here in the program. I'd like to start out not with about Pink Floyd, which I'm a huge fan of, but that's beside the point. I've asked you to come and speak about your activism. October 7th was not long ago. It changed the entire landscape of how we think about politics around the world, and the issue of morality for a change has entered the equation. And you were front and center. How do you see the Palestine issue now and the advocacy for the Palestinian people?
Well, obviously, the current situation is insane. The ludicrous border peace notion that came out of the awful resolution in the Security Council on November the 17th last year is absurd, ridiculous, a complete waste of time. Tony Blair is involved and so on and so forth. And nothing is being done to help my brothers and sisters in Palestine who are the subject of a genocide as we speak. So these are the basic facts that we all understand and we all recognize. What staggers us every morning when we wake up is that nothing is being done about it. Is that we, the people of the world, so far have been unable to raise the volume of our joint voices together to a loud enough pitch that we can override the imperial and hegemonic desires of the United States of America, almost the whole of Europe, with the exception of Spain. Thank you, Spain. And do something about it. The people of Palestine must be free. And the only way for that to happen, in my view, and I know I'm stepping off a cliff when I say this every time I say it, is for the experiment that is the Zionist creation of the racist apartheid state of Israel must come to an end. There must be a free, democratic Palestine from the River Jordan to the sea and from the Lebanese border to the Egyptian border, wherever those borders may end up. And this is simple common sense for anybody with an IQ above room temperature. It's so easy to understand. It is not complicated.
Yeah, but Roger, okay. I'm sure you would agree with me that you're not alone here. I mean, we've seen a groundswell all around the world, and even in the West, it has entered the politics of European countries and in the United States. The issue of AIPAC, for example, is front and center. I mean, the level of consciousness that we have now doesn't even compare to what we had 3 or 4, 10, 15 years ago. Is that an encouragement for you?
Yes, of course it is. To see people standing up everywhere. And it didn't start with the students at Columbia who they sent the fascist police in to beat them over the head with clubs and they arrested Khalil and blah and blah and blah. It has started before that, but the genocide has been a huge catalyst, which is why we, and by we I mean every single human being over the whole of the surface of the planet Earth, who follow a moral compass, who do understand that we human beings have the capacity and the right, and if we make the right choices, it can happen, to behave humanely and to allow our lives to be governed by our feelings of empathy for others rather than by our greed.
You know, Roger, you're a person of quite international notoriety, but there are a lot of well-known people in the world that are successful in the arts, in Hollywood, in music, but you stand very much alone. Why, you know, are these people comfortably numb, to use a phrase, with their status quo situation? I mean, why don't more people speak out? Because it's not a hard moral call.
No, it's not. I'm not standing alone. In recent years or months, we've got Kneecap, Massive Attack have always been huge. Brian Eno, my brother in London. There are quite a few of us, but we are a minority. And I believe that what it is that all of us have been subject to Western and Israeli propaganda, okay, all our lives. I mean, I've explained many times. And actually, I'll talk about it in a bit, but a song I've just made, a reimagination of Comfortably Numb. Maybe you were coming on to that, so maybe I shouldn't go to it. But one of the lyrics is, it breaks my heart, I came on board so late. I didn't join this fight until 2006. 2006. The genocide started in the mid-19th century. Not quite the genocide. I know that's an exaggeration. I take that back. But so, but we were
Roger, I don't want to correct you correcting yourself. Genocidal intent has been part and parcel of this project from the very beginning. You would agree with that?
I would completely agree with it, yeah. It's a bunch of, I suppose you could say, people who attach philosophically to the idea of establishing a Jewish, specifically a Jewish state in the Holy Land, and it's got and it's over well over 100 years old, as we know, aided and abetted by Lord Balfour in 1917 with the Balfour Declaration. But what people all forget about that letter that Balfour wrote to Lord Rothschild, where he said, this government supports the establishment of a homeland for the Jewish people. The second paragraph said, so long as that it in no way impinges on the civil or religious rights of any of the people living there, any of the indigenous population of that land. So obviously the Zionists have brushed all that out of the side, and here they are now. I saw a picture today of what Gaza looked like before October the 7th.
Well,
and
that goes to the exposure that so many people have had since October 7th, where it was a land without a people without the land, the Exodus story, Leon Uris, you know, that was all part and parcel of the major themes, the narrative at the time. That has been shattered.
Good, because it's a lie. It was always a terrible lie. This was Ashkenazi Jews. I've got nothing against Jewish people. I couldn't care less what anybody's religion is. It's none of my business, and I don't care. Unless that religion becomes subverted by evil, land-grabbing, greedy monsters like the State of Israel is, somehow the religion, Judaism, is suborned into support for genocide, for the wholesale slaughter of another people. And then I object to that,
Well, what I think is also very objectionable is Christian Zionism, which again, in my personal opinion, is a perversion of the faith. Okay, and this is one of the problems that we face, is that we've seen religion hijacked for political purposes. And that is very much embedded in the United States, as you well know.
Yeah, I do well know. Mike Huckabee should have stuck to playing the saxophone or whatever it was he did before he turned his hand to politics. And to install Mike Huckabee as an ambassador to the State of Israel is completely disgusting, as we know. Yeah, this whole idea that somehow one faith can be superior to another faith. I'm an atheist. I declare it openly, all right? I don't believe in God. And the people who do, that's their business. It's none of my business. But when you start saying, actually, God only cares about us, he doesn't care about anybody else. The world was created only for us. In the case of Ben-Gavir and the rest of the arseholes, they're saying he only cares about us, the Jews in the state of Israel, and everybody else is only on this earth to serve us.
Yeah, but
it's not funny.
But it's not funny, but it's absurd, too, because how can Christians believe that if they're Christians?
Because they want the Jews all dead. Everybody knows that. That's the basis of the... It has little to do with Christ, dare I say. I mean, let us not forget, my father actually was deeply religious and he believed in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. So that's another story. But Jesus did throw the money lenders out of the temple, as I recall. I think all people who call themselves Christians should try and remember that. And they should try and get it through their thick skulls, okay, that it is the money lenders that are destroying the planet Earth as we speak. Hand over fist. There won't be anything left in 50 years, probably, for our children or our grandchildren. And they're just going, no, never mind all that. We're just going to carry on with our neoliberal capitalist model. And we're gonna steal everything from anybody we want to and kill anyone who gets in the way. We don't believe in the United Nations or the Statute of Rome or the ICC or the ICJ or the idea of law of any kind. We're gangsters and we're happy with it.
You know, it's if you look at official public discourse, particularly in the United States, but in the West in general, the whole issue is the whole determining issue facing humanity is if you're an anti-Semite or not. I mean, that's the absurdity of it all.
Because it's absurd.
I absolutely agree with you. How does any of this help the vast majority of the people of the world? Unfortunately, Roger, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after the short break, we'll continue our discussion on Roger's activism. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelch. Remind you, we're discussing activism with Roger Waters. Okay, Roger, I want to go back on how the world has changed or what has been revealed over the last couple of years, particularly since October 7th, because it's very rarely pointed out that every day for Palestinians is October 7th, but that is not... That's breaking through slowly but surely, and that's part of our conversation here. How do we move from here? Because the way I look how people react to this debate, I just see... mass cowardice. People, you can see, look, open your eyes and tell, and what does your eyes see? You see a slaughter. You see the destruction of a people. You see the murder of children. What is your reaction? And so much of the time, it's cowardice.
Yeah, it is. It is very cowardly, but how can I put this? Immediately after October 7th, they started to spread the propaganda. They made up the lies about babies in ovens and raping of women, none of which happened. None of which happened. None. And weirdly enough, there's just been enough information of hostages released who were taken. There is no doubt that Hamas took hostages and took them back and kept them in tunnels. But when they're released, there's also no doubt about the evidence that the people who've been released, Israelis, women being released, when they came out, they go, they treated us with the utmost respect. And they fed it. They shared what little food they had. They shared it with us, their prisoners. And this is the story that was spread. Sorry, go on. I can see you want to say something.
No, I was just going to say is that many of the women, the former hostages, after their release, they made such statements to the media, and then they were disappeared. They weren't allowed to speak to the media anymore.
Exactly.
So that was a very uncomfortable truth, okay? And, the big New York Times story, I always get the title, something about screams and all of that, completely debunked. Line by line. But
yeah,
they still won't retract it. They still don't have a correction, okay?
No, so the... You're right.
Go ahead.
So we live in a miasma of their lies. And that is the battle that I and other activists engaged in this story face. So that's why I'm so grateful for to RT for having me on this program. I've done another number of other interviews in Russia as well, which is great. But anything that I can do, I will. How do we wipe the fog off the windscreen so that people can actually see what's happening and go, this is insane what is going on? Because clearly, our governments are all insane. Everyone, Keir Starmer's gone, thank God, but the new bloke won't be any better. He's still a puppet of the ruling elite. There is a ruling elite, and I'm not going all conspiracy theorist here. There's no question about it. There's no democracy in the United States of America, but there's very little in Europe. This ruling elite own almost all the media, and they spread the propaganda that there's nothing wrong with genocide. It's fine without saying that, but that's what they're saying. And they are wrong. They're so wrong.
No, Roger, you know, it's not genocide because they're not white people. I mean, let's say the truth, okay? That's 500 years of colonialism, okay? You know, some people are genocide and some people aren't, okay? Roger, I mean, you are very passionate about this, and this is why I wanted you to come on, because I feel the same way that you do. But what costs have come with your activism, okay? I mean, again, you know, I'm not trying to flatter you or anything, but you're an extremely well-known person around the world. But there are those that like to punish you for your activism, for you speaking, to use the common parlance, your truth. What has been the cost?
Well, a lot of money, obviously. Lots have cancelled this and cancelled that. But some of the most heinous, also famously on the last world tour that I did, which was 22-23, in lots of parts of the country, particularly in South America, particularly in Argentina and Uruguay and Colombia, I was denied the right to stay in a hotel. No hotel would accept me to stay the night. There was no room at the inn for this MF. So that it's a small thing, and I only mention it because it makes me laugh, because it's so dumb and insane. But more importantly, I've been involved in other campaigns, two particularly. One was a campaign for wounded American soldiers who I helped start a band in Walter Reed Hospital in 2012. We did shows in New York called Stand Up for Heroes. It was run by a lovely couple called Bob and Lee Woodruff. He was a ABC reporter who'd had most of his head blown off in Iraq, and he'd come back. And then, anyway, lovely, lovely people. I won't hear a word against them. But the Israeli lobby, in the personage actually of a billionaire called Steve Cohen, got involved in it. And after we'd done two fabulous shows, I put together a band of wounded men with G. Smith helped me, who used to be the MD at Saturday Night Live, that G. Smith. Anyway, and we did that, and it was wonderful. And it was really emotional. And anyway, we did it for 2 years, and then they stopped us. They said, the Israeli lobby, whoever gave money to Stand Up for Heroes said, if Roger Waters appears at one of your shows again, we will never give you a single dollar ever again. And there's lots of us. And we're talking probably 20 million a year, something like that. So they went,
But Roger, it says that they're afraid of you because of what you say, ergo because you speak the truth. So that's a kind of a backhanded compliment, yeah?
Yeah, it's, you just asked me, you said, well, if they don't you, well, that, I mean, I went on working with the men. We just didn't do it in the name of that particular charity. And there are other charity organizations like that have said, we can't use you. We can't talk to you anymore because they are using their muscle, their economic muscle, to tell us, if you do that, we're out. If he's in, we're out. That's disgusting.
Well, it's counterproductive too, because you know, you just celebrated your birthday. You don't have to say how old you are, but you know, it takes effort to do this. The more they push against you, the more I seem to see you on podcasts and broadcasts. So I know, I think they're on the losing end of this proposition.
Well, I think you seeing me a bit more is probably, at least in some part, due to my colleague, Mona Mayari, who we were working together on a documentary film about Gaza and about how artists can be part of the resistance. This is due to a mutual friendship with Malak Matar, who's a Palestinian painter. Anyway, to cut a long story short, that documentary never happened. But in the ruins of it, we got together and we made this new version of Comfortably Numb.
Yeah.
And where Mona started writing lyrics in Arabic, and it turned into a sort of correspondence exchange by this Palestinian singer with a fabulous, fabulous voice, and this old bloke in New York exchanging notes. And that's what the song is. But also it pulls no punches. Part of the new lyrics to Comfortably Numb that I wrote, she wrote lots of incredibly beautiful, almost metaphysical stuff about her attachment, because it's her homeland. It's not my homeland. It's her homeland. But I wrote about, it's time to draw a new line in the sand. You know, time to clean the slate, go back to 48, before the settlers stole the land, where everyone has equal human rights. It's in the song. You know, so and people have picked up on it. We've had millions and millions of views. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many emails from people saying, I burst into tears when I watched your song with Mona. And I go, good, I'm bursting into tears now. How can you not burst into tears, given what's going on in our name, with our pounds, shillings, pence, groats, dimes, dollars, francs? You know, that's been done in our name, we the people. Thank goodness in my country, England, we the people is represented by all the, I've watched them being arrested in Trafalgar Square and Parliament Square for writing on a piece of paper, I support Palestine action. I'm looking around my studio now because it's written on a piece of cardboard in this room, because I held it up in front of the camera on July the 5th last year going, I support Palestine action.
Yeah, but see, the very process of denying the rights of one particular group of people that have been oppressed and officially oppressed by Western governments. Western governments are willing to destroy what is one of the foundations of the West, and that's freedom of speech. I mean, again, I go back to the theme of cowardice. This is just cowardice, and it's open for all of us to see. We have about a minute and a half left. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's cowardice. It's an embrace of ignorance as well. Because when you're talking about our rights as citizens, in England, it goes back to Magna Carta, which was 1212, finally ratified in 1297 or something like that. No man shall be blah, 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 or removed of his liberty or blah, blah, blah. Save that he appear before a jury of his peers and da, da, da. They're throwing all of that out the window. The UK is now a police state, just like the United States and Germany. Oh, my God, don't get me started on Germany. I've got so many friends who've been arrested or denied entry. They wouldn't let Yanis Varoufakis into Germany.
All because you openly talk about genocide? I mean, that is truly remarkable, and it shows the emptiness of any kind of moral value the West can propagate and claim throughout the world. If you're willing to deny your own citizens a voice for saying the obvious. Last 30 seconds,
yes.
Roger.
Well, I don't know what to say now. I don't have any particular bon mot. Here we go. It's my mum's old thing to me when I was a little teenager. I always repeat this. I was about 13 and I was worrying about something. She said, what is it, boy? you know, and I went, well, she said, never mind what it is. When you have something to think about that's important, here's my advice. You read and read and read and read, particularly if it's a political question or something to do with human rights or whatever. When you've done that, and don't just read people who you agree with, read all opposing articles. When you've done that, you've done the hard work, the heavy lifting, the hard work is over. The next bit is easy.
Well, I would only add
well,
to
hang
that.
On, I'm
Peter, we're out of interrupt. Time. We're out of time. We're out of time. I would just
do
say
do the right thing.
Do the right
That's
thing.
What she
I
said.
Would just say read, 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 and listen to Roger Waters. That's what I would say. I want to thank Roger Waters in New York, and of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, crosstalk rules.